Welcome back to the Rodcast. It is a new theme Thursday. That's when my co-host, the Idealionaire, Patrick Davis, comes up with all the musically themed days of the week. But new theme Thursday comes up with a new, fresh, and creative theme. And today, because today's date is 7-Eleven, so happy 7-Eleven to everybody out there. Go get your free Slurpee if you're around and near a 7-Eleven, and you definitely are around and near a 7-Eleven because they're every damn where. Every song references 7-Eleven in some way, form, or fashion, and that's the theme for New Theme Thursday, 7-Eleven. So I appreciate my man Patrick hooking us up there. A little salt and pepper. What a man. Yeah. All right. I didn't even remember where they mentioned 7-Eleven here.
So is it's like open like third seven? Verse. Third verse. Okay. It's basically a reference to the lovemaking, I believe, is open all night like 7-Eleven.
Yeah. How often when 7-Eleven is mentioned, is it about them being open?
Oh, well, no, so they rhymed it with heaven in the first three songs we played.
There you go.
They were like, we got to rhyme heaven with something, and that's so 7-Eleven rhymed with it. But
yeah, because you can even there's also in, was it Ice Cube, Today Was a Good Day, isn't there a 7-Eleven reference in there as well?
Oh, I don't
but
know.
It's 7-Eleven about the dice and not 7-Eleven the store.
Oh, okay, so maybe, yes.
Right? I think there's a 7-Eleven reference there in the dice, and he also, I believe makes the 7-Eleven in heaven connection there as well. So you're right. Okay. Yeah. That's okay. So just the fact that you went deep diving and found lyrics that actually reference 7-Eleven, and my man Patrick, that's why he's a real MVP, man. He's doing things that nobody else can do. All right. Also coming up with the topic for the Big Fat Poll today, which is posted now online. You can go check it out on the X account @TheHornATX. The Big Fat Poll today: who will be the best quarterback in the Big 12? And Patrick wants to know if you missed, obviously, if we missed any of them on the selections that we gave you: Shedeur Sanders, Cameron Rising, Jalen Daniels, and Avery Johnson. You can just list them down below at the bottom. And Cameron Rising running away with this vote, Patrick. 52% of the respondents said that they believe Cameron Rising is going to be the best quarterback in the Big 12. Followed by Jalen Daniels, then Shedeur Sanders.
No love for Shedeur over there.
Yeah, people don't like Shedeur.
I know. Really, no love for Avery Johnson.
Yeah, because when Texas played Avery Johnson, there was a lot of hype about him leading up to that game in K-State, and he did not look great at all. I mean, as a matter of fact, K-State, they didn't even play him that much. We expected to see him a lot because of the quarterback run game. We didn't see him a lot. We saw a lot of Will Howard. Now, they got down, 20 points or something in that game. So, Will Howard gave him the best chance of coming back. But we didn't get to see much of Avery Johnson. So, I think Longhorn fans, and a lot of these folks voting, I imagine, are Longhorn fans, were unimpressed with Avery Johnson.
Yeah. And I think the other ones just are wondering why a 50-something-year-old point guard is going to be the best quarterback in the Big 12.
Cameron Rising?
Avery Johnson, the point guard for the Spurs.
Oh, well done. Right over here. Well done. I wasn't even thinking about it. I sound like Avery Johnson. I should automatically make that connection. My apologies. I was like, what? Okay, that makes sense. If some of y'all don't get the Avery Johnson reference, Avery Johnson. Jalen Daniels is a guy, I guess maybe Longhorn fans respect him more, or at least folks voting respect him more. Cameron Rising, remember, he is a former Longhorn. So in addition to being a really good quarterback who's been around for a long time, so his name recognition there, he was once on the 40 acres, once committed to Texas.
Yeah, and I mean,
that may have something to do with it.
And I mean, he's also had that couple of years of where he's supposed to be there, because last year he was, that was if he came back, that Utah could have won the Pac-12. That was one of the predictions. It was if he could come back.
I remember that.
But just could never get back. And so they basically put it off for a year to come back this year. And now they're hoping to win the Big 12. the same way they were hoping to win the Pac-12 last year.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I mean, if he's healthy, they got more than a shot because he's damn good when he's, like I said, available to play. But, man, it's crazy. He redshirted. Yeah, Texas at 2018, he redshirted in 2018. And he's about to play in 2023. That's amazing. It really is. Like it's like I said, I wish I could have played in this era of college football because even if you're dealing with injuries or it's let's say it's an issue with the school or the coach leaving compatibility, you pretty much got multiple chances to make it work for you, right? Yeah, I mean, you used to be back. One big injury could pretty much end your career because you just didn't have extra eligibility. You know, you didn't have the ability to transfer to another program because once you get injured, they recruit past you. They don't say they do, but they do. They recruit over. They have to. I mean, they can't just assume that you're going to come back healthy and be the player that you once was. So they recruit over you. And there's a lot of like trauma associated with that if you're a player. And now you can just transfer, fresh start, and pick your location. Look at the roster and go, I think I'm better than that dude. Do research. Yeah. On the system and everything, they're like, you know what? I'm transferring there. That system fits me perfectly.
Yeah.
I want to play more zone coverage. They play a lot of zone coverage. Yeah. You can do that back in the day.
Fresh promises,
you're good, but you have to sit out a year.
Fresh promises, yeah, new NIL.
Oh, NIL. Yeah, I ain't even mentioned. I'm not mentioning the best part. I'm talking about transferring to a school where you can play, but NIL obviously would be. And think about if you're Cam Rising. I mean, now that NIL is the law of the land. He's probably not benefiting from, but you're a guy like Dylan Gabriel. Think about how much money he's made NIL wise.
He's apparently at unlimited NIL. You now.
Now you're right. Now you're making more than ever now. But I mean, going to Oklahoma. I mean, Quinn Ewers has done it too. Good job for him. Going to Ohio State, then hopping up to Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a trust me. You signed those NIL deals, and you know for the quarterback position, I think that's the most lucrative of NIL deals is for these quarterbacks. And you can sign two or three just going from program to program, like a Will Howard, somebody like that. I mean, those guys could really set themselves up for life and not even be an NFL player. You don't even need to be an NFL player if you don't really want to. If you can, great. If it works out for you, great. But, man, some of these guys can set themselves up for life.
Yeah, it must throw off like
college career.
If you don't, if someone didn't really pay attention to sports, and someone buys a nice house down the street, and they have to ask him, they're like, "Oh, how'd you make your money?" He'd be like, "Oh, playing football." He's like, "Well, you look young. Who'd you play for?" He's like, "The Jayhawks." When they get a Jayhawks in the NFL,
that's a great point. That I'm not thinking about that. That would be mind blowing to me if I was in there and be like, "Oh, man, you're pretty young," and basically they're almost acting like they're retired or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're just like a student because maybe they just got done with their eligibility, but they had enough money to do it, but they didn't make it to the league, and they just got were able to afford a house next to you, like. What? How is this possible? You're 23, 24 years old. You're not a musician or a pro athlete or some actor or something. You're just a regular old dude. Like, yeah, pretty much. No, yeah, 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 yeah. No trust fund money. No trust fund money. Yeah.
No
family money. No, not
transfer
really,
three times.
Transfer three times. Able to, I got about $3 million out of those transfers out of NIL and out of time. It's a beautiful thing. God bless these young folks. All right, so Cameron Rising is probably gonna at least in your view, he's gonna be the best quarterback in the Big 12 next year. All right, we'll get back to some more football discussion. Matter of fact, we'll talk some NFL. We'll talk a little college and NFL. I'll make that connection in Rod's rant of the day. But first, let's get updated, let's get educated, let's get informed on all the top stories of the day with my man Patrick Davis. Then we'll come back and get into some of these NFL odds. But first, the Horn Headlines with Patrick Davis.
All right, your Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Team USA basketball started their warm-up to the Olympics with an exhibition game against Canada last night in Las Vegas, winning 86-72. USA had four players score in double digits, led by Anthony Edwards with 13, and Anthony Davis picked up a double-double with 10 points and 11 rebounds. Defense led the way for USA, holding Canada to 33% shooting on the night and picking up 11 steals and 9 blocks. Team USA will look to fix some of their turnover problems and get a quicker start offensively in their second tune-up game against Australia on Monday. In the MLB, the Astros pushed their home win streak to 8 games with a 9-1 win over the Marlins yesterday. A 4-run second inning gave the Astros the lead, and they never looked back with Yonier Diaz contributing 3 RBIs. Framber Valdez was able to strike out 10 in his 7 innings pitch, getting his 8th win of the season, and Caleb Ord finished out the game. Yordan Alvarez got a walk and an RBI single in the game, but he left after those with a right hip tightness. Jake Bloss will get his second career start tonight, returning from the IL after leaving his first start with shoulder discomfort in June. And the Rangers snapped their 5-game win streak with a loss to the Angels 7-2 yesterday. Michael Lorenzen gave up 5 runs in the first 3 innings, starting in the second, where he allowed 3 walks and a hit-by-pitch in the inning. Leody Taveras got a 2-run homer in the 5th, but it wasn't enough. However, the Rangers still win the series versus the Angels 2-1 and now get the day off before facing the Astros in a weekend series before the All-Star break. And that is your Horn Headlines.
All right, thank you, Patrick, for the Horn Headlines. Appreciate those. All right, let's get right to these NFL odds. And if we have time, we'll get to Roger Rant. If not, we'll table Roger Rant for next segment. Oh, just real quick, did you? We're just talking about NIL, so I think it's appropriate to get into this story. At the Big 12 Media Days, when they asked Dave Aranda why his recruiting has picked up and why his recruiting's got better, he just said, because we're paying the players. Straight up. That was his response.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Some real honesty there.
He just said that simple. He said, no, it was like, oh, so your recruiting's doing much better. I mean, looks like it's picked up. What's been your strategy? Why is it improving? He's like, no, man, we're paying the players. We're paying players. That's it. That's why our recruiting's gotten better. And if you pay the players, your recruiting will get better too.
Yeah. Well, wow. I mean, I'm sure that meant too. Baylor pony. It's a Baylor alumni ponied up for us.
Very true. Yeah, they are. You're right.
Because they've been paying players, but now we're paying. Now we're paying players.
paying players. But yeah, he's right about that. I mean, that's why some people are like, man, Texas is losing on out on some of these recruiting battles on the recruiting trail as of late. They're taking some L's. Why is that? After Texas has such a tremendous offseason, and the working theory is that, man, some of these teams and programs are just throwing out a tremendous bag.
Yeah.
And yeah. Oregon, I think, is one of the prime examples. It's like, well, if Oregon, Phil Knight, is deciding that he's personally going to fund the NIL arms race for Oregon, well, if you ain't got a billionaire like Phil Knight that's willing, and like you said, Patrick, willing to do it unapologetically and without regret, and without the basic expectation that you're going to get return on that investment?
Yeah.
Oh, that's shameless. Nothing you can do about that. He's basically just saying, I'll throw stupid money
now
at these young people.
The question will be, does he eventually get mad? Now, this could take – but if a bunch of these guys leave after a year or two and go transfer somewhere else and go, man, you paid me? Great. I didn't come to Oregon to play. I knew I wasn't going to play my first couple of years. I came to get paid from you. And then I'm going to go somewhere where I can go play because in Oregon there's too much competition and I may not get in. So I'm going to go over here now. I'm going to go play over here and play where I wanted to play.
That's going to be more on
Dan Lanning
and the culture.
Yeah.
Right. He's like, listen, my job is to bring talent in. Your job is to maximize it, to develop it and keep it here and keep it happy. That's your job. I got him here. All right. I paid all the money to get him here and they got the money. So they're happy with the money. You got to make sure they're happy with the program.
Yes.
Happy with the scheme. Happy with the team, the culture. That's on you, coach. I'm paying you a lot of money, too. So that's your job. I did my job. If I'm in Boost, I'm like, I did my job. My job is to bring in the talent. I can't do more than that. So you're right, though. That is, we just talked about it with Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers signed an NIL deal with Ohio State. Didn't play. Left.
Yeah.
And
that's because there's going to be some attrition because there always is, and especially in good teams, you have that because your next recruiting class is coming in, and if you weren't playing before and you're a sophomore and you haven't played yet, and they're filling in a new recruiting class and you're not supposed to be the starter, I'm waiting till my senior year. Well, I'm trying to be an NFL talent. I'm gonna go make more money, so I'm gonna go transfer, make more money, transfer, and then I'm gonna train, and then I'll hopefully get to the NFL, make more money there. So it'll be interesting to see. If that what the transfer portal situation is for Oregon after we've heard that they're handing out big money. If they're handing out the big money, see where that ends up going.
Yep. No, I totally agree. And like even Deion in Colorado, right? That that experiment's going to be interesting too, because that's an experiment in the new transfer portal mentality and NIL mentality. I mean, they've turned over that roster twice already. Basically, Dean's like, I'm going to keep just turning it over and getting transfers until I get a group I like that can win games.
Yes.
And then it's like, well, yeah, then I guess then he's going to keep that group and then just try to add to it. But that's new. We haven't seen anything like that.
No.
That's 2 years in a row now he's deciding he's turning over that roster at that rate.
Yeah. Shiloh came out and said, we got rid of the poison.
There you go. Exactly. And it's like, that's a lot of poison on that team.
Man, you all recruited a lot of poison.
They all recruited a lot of poison, man. That, like, you're talking about 60% of the team was poison then. By the way, we might be able to play this. We could have done it off the record. I told you there'd be a Deion Sanders rap song. I told you there'd be a Deion Sanders hip-hop song. There was. And I don't even know how it didn't go viral. I found it. It came on my timeline. That's how I know the algorithm, you know, it's listening to us. It knows. But he was rapping it, and he was filming it at the Big 12 Media Days. I'll send it to you. We can hear it. You can hear him rapping the lyrics to it. But I don't. It was a performance, but only for the video they were making. I'm telling you, you could ask Deion to perform. He will perform a rap song. I'm pretty sure he will do it. I'm pretty sure Brett Yarmark gave him the platform that he would do it. Now, the time to ask him to do it would probably be now, and you don't want him to ask him to do it during the season or after the season or postseason. It would have probably been in the offseason. You should probably ask him to, man, I'm trying to see, whenever they got a Big 12 event of some kind, I guarantee you Deion would perform one of his rap songs if he let him. Like, Deion would do it. Matter of fact, let Deion do it at Colorado and, like, let him so he'll have a big crowd and everything. And then you could, I don't know, stream it in or something like that.
Put him on game day or what's that, big noon kickoff?
Oh, yeah. That's perfect. Yes, the Fox version of it. I'm saying, I didn't realize, too, he has a rap song. He was rapping about, I think he was rapping about going to the Big 12 and stuff like that. So, man, he might make your Big 12, like, theme song. Oh, that's it. Boom. And then Gundy will get pissed, and then Gundy will make a country version of it. And him and Gary Patterson maybe get together and make a country version of it, and boom. We got the rivalry.
Geez.
Tell you. Just make it happen, man. Make it happen.
Oh, right? I don't want to.
That's real WWE right there.
I don't want to hear either version of that.
I'm going to send you the Deion one, though. We're going to listen to that and who said that. We're going to do that. All right. Okay, let's get to these NFL odds real quickly. And then we'll get to Raj Rant next segment. Okay, so here are the favorites to have the most receiving yards in the NFL this season via BetMGM. Tyreek Hill's at +500. CeeDee Lamb's at +600. Justin Jefferson +700. Ja'Marr Chase +800. A.J. Brown +900. Amon-Ra St. Brown is at +1,000. And at +1,500, Puka Nacua and Garrett Wilson. But at +1,800 is Drake London, and 28% of the money, which is the most money that's been placed on any player, 28% of it is on Drake London, more than any other player. So he's the most bet on player to currently right now at BetMGM to lead the NFL in receiving yards. I'll take CeeDee Lamb, actually. I'll take CeeDee Lamb. I think he's got a real good shot to do it. Brandon Cooks is the number two. Brandon Cooks regressed last year, could be at the end of his rope toward the twilight of his career. Tyreek Hill's got to split some of those targets with Jalen Waddle. Justin Jefferson's got a brand new quarterback there now. Ja'Marr Chase has also to split his reps because they got a lot of weapons there in Cincinnati. A.J. Brown's got Devontae Smith on the other side of him. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Detroit's just they run a lot of two tight end sets, actually, with LaPorta, and they're the tight end, so they want to get, you know, in power packages a lot of the times. Garrett Wilson, if I guess, you know, Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, Garrett Wilson's got a really good shot at that, too. Puka Nacua, I'm with you, Patrick. I don't know how Cooper Kupp plays into that. Cooper Kupp's actually done it, and I don't see him on the odds list here at all, so... CD to me makes sense because the Cowboys running game is going to be lackluster to say the least. And I don't necessarily trust Brandon Cooks to rebound and get to kind of his old productivity as a receiver. I think he may be toward the end of his years as a true productive wideout that can be a true one or two. I think he may be past that. had to look and see how old he is, but he's just been around a lot of teams, and now the injuries are starting to pile up for him a little bit too.
Yeah, so, no, I'm with you on that. The lack of a running game as well. Brandon Cooks is 30.
Damn, it feels like he's older than that.
Well, it's because he's been traded 97 times.
That's why it feels older. You're right. He's not that old then. I take that back. I don't know why I feel like he's older. He's definitely regressed, but he's not old, so I'm wrong about that.
No, but I mean, that's where you sit, and like Amari Cooper is an interesting one if Deshaun Watson stays healthy. I said earlier, Garrett Wilson's an interesting one if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, because Garrett, I don't know how many other weapons they really have in that offense right now for the Jets. So you say if he stays healthy, does he become somebody? We know that what Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams did when they were together. So if we can put into that world, it's maybe somebody. Who knows what that Bears offense is going to be, but they have good wide receivers over there as well. But they may have too many good wide receivers. Yeah. Keenan Allen was actually fourth in yards per game last year for the Chargers, and now he's on the Bears.
I didn't realize that actually.
Yeah. And I think Amon-Ra St. Brown, there's too many weapons that he may cite, that he'll stay around where he's at, which was 94 yards a game last year. I think he'll stay around that. And so if you're talking about the most yards, you probably want Tyreek Hill was the most yards per game at 112. So that's where you want to be about to try and be the most yards in the season is that world.
He was on track for like 2,000 receiving yards at one point early in the season.
Yeah.
I mean, he was killing them. Slowed down just a little bit because I just think you can't let Tyreek Hill, you just can't let that one guy beat you. So teams started putting safeties over the top of him, double teaming him, and that's when Jalen Waddle decided to start going off, and that's why they paid him the big bucks too. All right, here are your favorites to have the most rushing yards in the NFL this season via BetMGM. Christian McCaffrey at plus 300, Jonathan Taylor at plus 400, Saquon Barkley at plus 500, Breece Hall at plus 750, Bijan and Derrick Henry each at plus 1,000, and Kyren Williams is plus 1,200. 44% of the money is actually on Zamir White, who is plus 3,000 to have the most rushing yards. So maybe, I don't know. The Las Vegas thing.
Confuses me. That one confuses me, but it's
stupid money. I have no idea why he would
I get Josh there. Jacobs did well there last year. Josh Jacobs has done well in Vegas, but Zamir White has never, he averaged more yards per carry than Josh Jacobs did last year, I guess. So maybe they think he's going to step into that role. He was okay last year, but his longest run was 15 yards. I feel like you're going to need some more chunk plays to get up there and lead the league. But I guess they figure they don't have a quarterback. They're just going to hand the ball off.
That's true. Maybe you're right. Actually, that probably is it. That might be the reason why, because they probably figure they're just going to run the ball.
But they're going to throw it
and run the route.
They have Davante Adams. They're going to throw the football some.
Yeah, you got to. But who's going to throw it to him?
Aiden O'Connell, man.
Aiden O'Connell. Yeah, they're going to run the rock a lot. But I don't know if that dude's going to lead the league in rushing. There's a picture of him going viral, too. Have you seen this where he's, like, really yoked? And I think that has also contributed to it. I have no idea. All right. This is also from BetMGM. This is actually from their website. So this is their information. BetMGM all odds to have the most passing touchdowns this season. Patrick Mahomes plus 500, Dak Prescott plus 600, C.J. Stroud, along with Joe Burrow and Kirk Cousins, tied at plus 700, and Aaron Rodgers, Brock Purdy, and Jordan Love at plus 1,000. Most of the bets, or at least most of the money, bet on Aaron Rodgers to throw the most touchdowns. He's at 38%. I'd like the value there of C.J. Stroud, though, man. C.J. Stroud, adding all those weapons, I definitely could see him in the mix there, too. And this is basically in the same realm. Odds to have the most passing yards in the NFL this season. Patrick Mahomes plus 500. C.J. Stroud plus 600. Dak Prescott plus 750 along with Jared Goff. And then at plus 800 you have Joe Burrow. Tua is at plus 850. And every other quarterback is plus 1,200 or longer odds to lead the NFL in passing yards. Most of the bets, 14% of them, have been on C.J. Stroud to throw the most yards. I think C.J. Stroud could lead the NFL in passing yards and touchdowns. Well, he led the NFL in passing yards last year, did he not? If I'm not mistaken. Passing yards and touchdowns.
Yeah.
Last year was touchdown interception ratio, and I wouldn't say it was passing yards. I could be off about that. I know it was touchdown interception ratio. I know. I remember that. But I honestly, I think C.J. Stroud is good value in both of those. To lead the adding Stephon Diggs and then had Nico Collins become a true number one wide receiver, and then you got Dalton Schultz, Tank Dell totally healthy. The offensive line was a mass unit last year. They'll be healthier. Bobby Sloak was a first year play caller, the rookie quarterback. So both of those elements expected to improve as a play caller and the rookie quarterback himself, C.J. Stroud. I think that's a good bet to me. Seems like a sure bet. But at least it would definitely be the one I'd be most confident in. I think C.J. Stroud is definitely going to take a huge leap next season. Okay, let's get to the break here. We'll have Raj rant on the other side. I went deep down the rabbit hole after I saw a stat actually related to the Houston Texans and Nico Collins. And at the end of that rabbit hole, after researching that stat, found myself on the 40 acres researching Steve Sarkisian. I'll tell you why that was the case when we come back right here on the Ridecast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite
and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. It's time to get into Rod's Rant of the Day. And I'm going to go down the rabbit hole a little bit here. I was looking at a stat, and it was I got it from, it's basically a cumulative stat. Pro Football Focus for some of this, because I was looking at yards per route run, and actually Fantasy Field Vision is the other spot where I got some of this information. So if you are looking at yards per route run, which is kind of the new advanced metric to determine efficiency and effectiveness of different wide receivers. If you look at yards per route run for receivers who had at least 400-plus routes and receivers who were able to achieve at least 3 yards per route run since 2010. So that is the cutoff. 3 yards per route run and at least 400 routes run, all right, and since 2010, so in the last 14 years, the wide receivers that actually met this criteria: Victor Cruz, Andre Johnson, Julio Jones, Brandon Ayuk, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, and Nico Collins. Started with Nico Collins, and then I found all these other ones. So these are the 7 wide receivers who are able to, at one point in the last 14 years, get to 3 yards per route run with at least 400 routes run. And the point of the 400 is that they are high-volume wide receivers running a lot of routes, and the 3 yards per route run just shows their efficiency. Now, Tyreek Hill's been the best wide receiver in the NFL, in a lot of people's opinion, the last couple of years. And in 2022 and 2023, he achieved it. Nico Collins in 2023, just to let you know how underrated that dude is. Brandon Ayuk also did it in 2023. We had 3 players do it in 2023. In 2022, Tyreek Hill did it. In 2021, you had Cooper Kupp did it. That was that year where he had the triple crown of receiving. In 2017, in 2016, and in 2015, Julio Jones did it in 3 straight years. Just talk about a dominant receiver. And Andre Johnson and Victor Cruz did in 2012. So the connection with these players is that most of them played in offenses that are connected to or from that McShanahan coaching tree. Starting with Andre Johnson in 2012, Shanahan was on that staff with the Texans, I believe, until 2011, and I believe he leaves. But Gary Kubiak, it was actually from the Mike Shanahan coaching tree. So from the original Shanahan coaching tree, and Andre Johnson achieved 3 yards per route run in that season. Julio Jones did in 2015 and 16. My boy Kyle Shanahan is the offensive coordinator for those teams. And in 2023, Kyle Shanahan is the head coach and play caller for the 49ers when Brandon Ayuk does it. Cooper Kupp in 2021. That's Sean McVay, also from the Shanahan, McShanahan coaching tree. Tyreek Hill in 2022 and 23. Mike McDaniel from the McShanahan coaching tree. And 2023, Nico Collins, Bobby Slowick from the McShanahan coaching tree. Now, there are two outliers here. Victor Cruz in 2012, Kevin Gilbride was the offensive coordinator, old run-and-shoot offensive coordinator from the Oilers days. Remember him and Buddy Ryan and the fight on the sideline? That Kevin Gilbride, that dude, yeah. So that's a total outlier, no connection at all. There are always exceptions to the rule. But then the other one was 2017, Julio Jones, and the offensive coordinator and play caller was Steve Sarkisian. And this was part of Sark's evolution as a play caller when he really became obsessed with that McShanahan coaching tree. He was following the best offense in the NFL in 2016. Matt Ryan was coming off an MVP season. They were coming off a Super Bowl appearance. And Sark was humble enough to say to himself, I'm not going to change too much of this offense. I want to infuse my principles and my system, but I want to do it by really starting to connect as much as many of these staples between his ideas and Shano's ideas as he could. So as much connective tissue as he could find, he wanted to keep it. So, excuse me, he had his his two back sets. Shano runs more 21 personnel than everybody, but Sark's version of it was two tailbacks instead of a fullback. And he used that with Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. And he started to adopt a lot of the conceptual signatures from Shano, that a lot of the cheat codes, a lot of the hacks, and a lot of, you know, the different force multipliers he used. Really high rates of play action pass. Really high rates of pre-snap motion, which we've talked about. These are all signatures of a Shanahan offense. You go look at the top teams in pre-snap motion in the NFL right now. 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all from the McShanahan coaching tree. Miami, San Fran, L.A. Rams, Green Bay Packers. And that's just that'll always be the case. That's one of the things you learn. I think Houston will probably be in there next year. It's one of the things you really learn from the Shanahan coach is all the different advantages and what a cheat code pre-snap motion and targets to motion are. The play-action pass rates are always through the roof. Sark with Quinn last year, Quinn had more play-action pass dropbacks than any quarterback in college football because that's part of the formula, right, in the Shanahan offense is lots of deception-based passing game. Mike McDaniel and Kevin O'Connell, both from the McShanahan coaching tree, led the NFL in the rate of play action last season. That's also part of it, and that's something else that Sark picked up on. One of the other, I think, connective concepts between the Shanahan offense and Sark that he has basically now kind of taken as his own is formational width. Nobody in the NFL has more condensed, more compressed formations than the Shanahan clan, than the McShanahan coaches. If you go look at the, in terms of yards, so average formation width in measured in yards, the 49ers have the lowest average formation width in the NFL. 19.7 yards, really condensed, compressed sets. The Rams are second lowest, 20. Miami, third lowest, 21.2. Houston, fourth lowest, 21.7. Knows the trend, right? These are all the mix. So another conceptual signature that he wanted to connect to his philosophy offensively. And he uses a lot of condensed, compressed sets, reduced sets of the receivers, reduced splits for the receivers. That is also, like I said, from the McShanahan coaching tree. And all of these little different cheat codes, they're obviously ways for these coaches to maximize the talent of those specific receivers and to scheme them open better. And I think that's what that yards per route run really talks about, the ability to scheme a receiver open, to scheme open yardage. And nobody leads, nobody does better in college football. Actually, I'm on the Power Five, and it's actually a real stat. When I was looking at it from a data scientist, Texas actually had more schemed open yardage last year than any other team in the Power Five. They call it catch separation. It's just schemed open. How open is a guy when he's, you know, in terms of the nearest defender in yardage to the targeted receiver? So I kind of look at it as these are schemed open throws, and Sark does a really good job. Texas led the Power Five in catch separation. That's when they got the, when they caught the football, how far were they from the nearest defender? And then Texas also top five in yards after the catch. And we know the McShanahan offense are also yak daddy offense. They depend a lot on yak yardage, and that's where you get these big explosive prolific numbers in yards per route run as well, is when you get guys schemed open, and then they can get the yards after the catch, and they run after the catch guys. So it's real interesting how, you know, Sark's transition really started there. So he's not a McShanahan coach from the coaching tree. He's just about 2-3 branches removed from it, but the influences are all over Sark's offense. And I think actually he could increase a lot of those conceptual signatures that connected him to that tree. But out of the, so there's 7 players who have achieved this feat, with the cutoff being at least 400 routes run and gotten 3 yards per route run since 2010. So in last 14 years, Victor Cruz, Andre Johnson, Julio Jones, Brandon Ayuk, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, Nico Collins. 7 players. It's happened 10 times, because you got Tyreek Hill and Julio Jones have done it multiple times over 14-year span. And how many different play callers and coaches? Bobby Slowick, Mike McDaniel, Sean McVay, Shano twice, Gary Kubiak, Sark, and Kevin Gilbride. So you got 7 coaches, and 6 of those coaches were essentially either from the McShanahan coaching tree or like Sark. They have basically been an admirer of it, or they're 2 branches removed. I don't think that's a coincidence. And if you do it from the last 10 years, then you go look at receivers who were able to get to achieve 3 yards per route run in the last 10 years or so, it's all the Shanahan receivers, because then you remove the Victor Cruz one. Victor Cruz removed, and then the Andre Johnson one ends up being removed out of that, and then it's just all Shanahan, McShanahan and Shanahan coaches after that. So, like I said, the more recent your breakdown is, or analysis is, you realize it is definitely something in common with that coaching tree. And I think it's also because they do a masterful job of scheming mismatches. They do a really good job. Actually, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan's in this category too. Mike McDaniel, they, and Andy Reid's in this category too. They have the lowest rates of wide receiver targets versus cornerbacks in the league, which means they scheme their wide receivers to be matched up oftentimes on linebackers and safeties more than cornerbacks. That is the true brilliance. That's how you know you're a brilliant play designer, and Sark is in that category. All right, we come back. We got who said that, and I'm going to spoil it for you. It's Deion. I believe we got Deion's latest, or at least sneak peek into Deion's latest rap hip-hop song that he's doing. I don't know if he's doing it for the Big 12 or for his celebration of Colorado moving to the Big 12, but I found it, and we'll play it for you on the other side right here on the Rodcast, featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Davis coming back on the horn.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. It is a new theme Thursday. That's when my co-host, the Idillionaire Patrick Davis, comes up with a creative and new theme for the day. And today, since it is 7-11, that's the date, all these songs reference 7-11. So it's a shout out to 7-11 in so many ways. So we appreciate my man Patrick working hard for us. Also, we appreciate him coming up with the topic for the Big Fat Poll today, which is also posted at the Horns X account, the Horn ATX, the Big Fat Poll today. Who will be the best quarterback in the Big 12? He says, if you missed one and you got a hot take about it, you can leave that in the comments below. But your choices are Shedeur Sanders, Cameron Rising, Jalen Daniels, Avery Johnson, and Cameron Rising running away with this thing. 50% of the votes say that he's going to be the best quarterback in the Big 12 next season. All right, speaking of the Big 12, we got it's time for Who Said That, and we're going to spoil it for you a little bit here. But Deion Sanders was at Big 12 Media Days, and I don't know, I found this via a Colorado Buffalo Twitter account. And I believe this is a new song. This is not one of Deion's old rap songs. But Deion seemed to be filming a video for this song at Big 12 Media Days. My idea is for Brett Yarmark to give Deion a platform and let him perform for the Big 12 on one of their, they do a lot of these different, entertainment aspects and elements to some of the tournaments and postseason competitions. Let Deion perform at one of those, because I think he would do it. And this might be the song that you hear.
Just a little press. No, I don't stress, because you know I'm staying blessed. I'm coming, baby. I'm not talking like you. The lights don't lie to see. I'm used to the fight. Prime, being prime. I'm up on my time. Seven figures hit a way back since 89. It ain't been good to me. The hood been good to me. You got the good to me.
Older in there, so that's why I think it's new.
That's it.
Yeah. I heard Boulder in there, so that's why I think it's relatively new. Maybe it's like a remix to Must Be the Money, but I heard Bowie said something about carrying the weight of the people on my shoulders, and then he put it in the Boulder in reference to Boulder, Colorado. So I think it's relatively new. Deion's making new music now, man.
Yeah, maybe a remix, but he's going to make something, a hype video for next season.
They probably would play it on the Jumbotron. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's a hype video.
They're going to play a little Deion. Yeah, that's right. A little snippet from it, whatever it is. Okay. Yeah, I know it's going to happen. Brett Yarmark needs to take advantage of this, man. Deion wants to be, someone who's an exhibitionist, and he wants to be a performer. Let him do it. Give him a platform, man.
So we think that Colorado is now going to come out to Deion Sanders? You think they're going to come out to that song?
Or Shedeur's. Remember, Shedeur's got a rap song, too.
Yeah, but Shedeur's is not a come out to get you pumped up for a game.
It's too soft. Yeah, you need something that bangs. You need something a little bit hardcore. I don't know. Deion's might be too soft, too, to come. It's not hype music.
Maybe he's got a whole album ready.
Maybe he's got some hype music ready to go. Yeah, get with like Lil Jon, Deion. Do like a song with Lil Jon or something. Lil Jon, do something with you. Make some good hype music there. All right. Thank you, Patrick, for everything you do, brother. We appreciate it as always. Thank you guys out there for listening as always. We appreciate you even more. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. We'll be talking about it right here on the Rodcast. Remember, we love you guys. We mean that. Take care of yourselves, but more importantly, take care of each other. Until next time, same channel. Hook 'em and peace.
Ready for the next episode, hey.